Welcome to GleeCast, the somewhat occasionally weekly home of Glee and casting. Here are your hosts, Emily and Erica.
Welcome to the next phase of GleeCast. It's been a while, but we're back.
We're back after that long hiatus.
Very long hiatus between Christmas and Sadie Hawkins. Now, yes. So we're here to talk about, was the episode called Sadie Hawkins?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
I believe. I'm pretty sure it was.
Okay, and this one was written by Ross Maxwell, who I think wrote a few other episodes, and directed by Bradley Bucher, who's directed a bunch of Glee. Did you want to talk about American Horror Story before we delve into this, or no?
Because
it's also a Ryan Murphy, Brad Falchuk joint. They just wrapped up season two.
So we'll talk spoilers in case, if anyone doesn't want to hear them, then fast forward 5 minutes.
Fast forward like 5 minutes, yeah.
Okay, so I had issue with this season all along, but I watched season one live. You watched season one while you were watching season two. And
I did.
You started season two first, and you initially liked season two better than season one.
Mm-hmm.
I did not from the beginning, because there was just too much going on, and I didn't have faith in them to tie up all the loose ends and bring everything together, and they didn't.
And they did, yeah. See, the whole reason I didn't watch last season was that as I said, I don't like watching new shows.
Right.
Especially if they're story-based, because if it gets canceled, well, great. Or if it pulls what a lot of shows do, where it, like, if it pulls a Carnival, where it's like, oh, you know what, we're just not going to be that good after a while. And then it drags stories out, and then I'm just stuck wasting time on TV. I hate that. It's to me the most annoying thing is wasting time on TV. So it wasn't until word on the street was that every season would be self-contained that I was like, oh, so no matter what, I will get a full story in one season. And that's when I started watching. That's why I started watching season two live and why I went back to season one.
Right.
And I do agree. I think season two, there's some things about it that I liked more. In general, I think the setting was more interesting. It was an asylum in the 60s. And I think the fact that I feel like they tried to say more with it just regarding the 60s and regarding like kind of the changing times. And I liked a lot of the stuff that was brought up about homosexuality. I thought was like they actually made you think about certain things. But the fact that you had demonic possession and Nazi medical doctor.
And aliens.
And like, aliens.
And none zombies.
And zombie mutant things. And ultimately, and I think purely and simply, I think what happened was they didn't realize until halfway through, oh, this is Lana's story. Lana is actually our main character, and she is the one that we really want to follow. Okay, but what does she have to do with the demonically possessed nun? Well, nothing really. All right, let's just get rid of the nun. Okay, yeah, let's just get rid. Okay, nun. Nun is dead. Let's move on. So that's where, and in a way it's a shame, because I think you could have an entire season about James Cromwell's doctor. That could have been its own show.
Right. They had like four different like plots.
Things that they that started off. Yeah.
That all could have stood on their own two legs.
Yep.
Without issue.
Yeah, and the fact that they crammed them into one show, what saddens me is like, oh, so that means I'm never going to get that James Cromwell as a Nazi doctor show that I would have watched on its
right.
own.
Yeah. And my thing was, well, I know we briefly discussed this off air, but I feel like I could have been satisfied ultimately by the show, because Lana's character has that one moment during the book reading where she's imagining these other, you know, her son mm-hmm. and her ex-girlfriend Thredson and her dead ex-girlfriend standing up and calling her out on things not being in the book and like her telling lies in the book. And I think if they had ultimately just made the entire season her Tales from Briarcliff book,
mm-hmm.
where they were, you know, they were all these big embellishments that she used
to tell the story. Where the Nazi doctor and the demonically possessed nun were part of that. Like,
right.
Yeah,
it didn't really happen, but she wrote it in the book to make the book sell. And then the last episode could have been like, yes, they were all real characters, but this is where they really are now. Like, I would have accepted that.
Yeah, because even in season one, I mean, you have a lot going on. You have the Black Dahlia. You have the crazy dentist. You have all this stuff.
But they all have to do with the house.
It's all centered in the house, so it's okay if they go crazy for one episode, because it still fits into the whole theme of it. Right. So yeah, I think this episode was, they were just too ambitious. And the shame is, I think the whole structure of the show is supposed to prevent that from happening. Because if you only have 13 episodes for one story, you should have it all plotted out before you start to know every character's arc and what every episode's going to be. And I don't know how they weren't able to do that this time.
Well, because it's a Ryan Murphy joint.
Exactly. I mean, the thing, though, I will say is I probably, had I watched these both live, I would have probably enjoyed Asylum more watching live, because I think the episodes on the, like, even as a whole, I think it was messier than season one, and I think season one was stronger, but individual episodes, I enjoyed season two, just because it was a little crazier. It was a little more up my alley. You had more references to, like, the yellow wallpaper and Killer Santa and things like that that entertained me. But yeah, as an overall arc, season one is definitely superior.
Okay, that was a good talk.
Indeed. All right, so we're going to move on to Glee.
sorry for the abbreviated episodes.
I mean, yeah, we have to, this week is really busy
this
for both of us.
The only time we have to record, and it's like 9 a.m. on a Sunday.
It is. It's about to turn 10 a.m.
It is.
On a Sunday. I know this week for both of us is crazy, and we're not going to be home at all. And then we didn't want to fall behind another week, because then, like, next weekend I'll be all around and stuff. And we were already, you know, a month late getting the Christmas episode. And so we apologize. We weren't able to even get feedback, really, because we just don't have time right now.
But don't worry, because we only have 2 months until Game of Thrones starts.
That's true. Oh my God, I can't wait. And 1 month before Emily gets her Game of Thrones 2 Blu-rays and gets to watch season two.
Oh yes, we could do retrospective.
Totally good. Oh God. I can't
Podcast.
Wait to start speaking again.
Podcast is coming.
Podcast is coming. Okay. So this episode, Sadie Hawkins. I guess we'll just break it down. Oh no. Glee
cap. You have to do a Glee cap.
I forgot how this works. Sometimes.
Don't get ahead of yourself.
All right, here we go. McKinley High reconvenes with Scandal as Sam and Blaine uncover a warbling plot to juice up for competition. The ladies take charge with a Tina-led Sadie Hawkins dance, an event that might have been planned just so Tina could ask Blaine to dance, since now that's a thing. But Blaine actually has a crush on Sam, which is apparently also a thing. Maybe a convenient one, since Kurt is busying himself in the Niata style by flirting with the head of the a cappella group, Adam, who's cute and Britishy and might have stolen a vocal arrangement. Rachel, meanwhile, is in full swing with Brody, eventually and incredibly irresponsibly asking him to move into the Bushwick loft she pays half the rent on. Also happening, Puck toying with the idea of statutory rape playing with Kitty, and Marley cock-teasing Jake. Lauren's Icy's stopped on to dance, Tina didn't have a warbling chance, and Marley still puts me in a trance, and that's what you missed on Glee.
So I know we've already had, I guess they moved on from assassinating Quinn's character to assassinating Tina's character.
Oh, it would seem. Oh God.
Do you want to just talk about that first?
All right. So Tina, because now let's also keep in mind when last we spoke to Tina, her and Mike Chang had a conversation that was like, maybe we'll get back together. Not like we ever found out why they broke apart, but who cares? Because apparently the writers don't, because now Tina has a crush on Blaine.
Which is
gay.
Just ridiculous.
Which is just there seemingly to embarrass Tina.
Yeah.
And that's what it feels like. It really does feel like they don't know what to do with her, so they're going to give her a really awkward storyline that's going to make everybody uncomfortable.
Yep. This was like...
And it did. It was
terrible.
Awful. Awful. Awful.
So bad.
Ugh. Like, and as if that wasn't bad enough, they've also decided to assassinate Blaine by having him... And this, what sucks about this is the Blaine and Sam friendship has been one of the few really good, consistent things this season.
Yep, and they just stabbed it in the back.
It's been awesome, and it's been really cute to watch them. And now they've decided, and Blaine likes Sam.
It's like they're saying girls can't be friends with gay guys because they'll fall in love with them, and gay guys can't be friends with straight guys because they'll fall in love with them. Like, they're just...
It offends everybody.
It's offensive.
Yeah, so that sucked.
It's as offensive as Tina singing Gangnam Style.
Oh my God, I forgot about that. Why'd you have to remind me?
Sorry.
That's okay. So there's all those things going on, and they all make us angry. What makes me not necessarily angry, but uncomfortable, Puck and Kitty.
Oh, yeah.
So she's like 16, and he's, he's 18, 19.
He's 18, 19. He just graduated last year. But how many times did he get left back? We don't know how often he was left back.
Like, on one hand, it's not like, oh, whatever. Like, you know. plenty of high school students date college students. It's fine. But I feel like the show is handling it really weird because they're so acknowledging that Puck is older and Kitty is younger and Kitty is supposed to be this virginal Christian.
Yeah.
That it just, it's uncomfortable and how about it doesn't have to be.
That 180 character change.
Like, which one? Kitty?
Oh, wait, yeah. Know. Yeah.
Oh, you're right. The literal, where she's acknowledging, yeah, I was Christian. Yeah. Now I've decided to be a slut.
Yeah.
I think that's dialogue, right? Like, that's actually from the
script. Yes, that happened. Yes.
Yeah. You know what's worse?
I know what you think is worse.
Marley and Jake and the whole thing, Marley being like, okay, you can be with me, but we have to take it slow.
Oh, my God. That dialogue made me put hot pokers in my ears.
Please, Jake, just go sleep with Kitty the slut. Please, make us all happy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need one more. Okay. I am not saying high school girls should be having sex with their boyfriends. I'm not saying that's what it should be. But do not dare give me a story where Marley doesn't want to have sex with Jake. I don't want that. Please.
No one's asking for it.
Nobody is asking for it.
And her idiotic dancing and smiling the whole time she's delivering those lines. Oh my God, I wanted to kill myself. It was terrible.
Okay. It was. All right. Oh, you know what else is terrible? This made me really angry. Oh, look, they brought Lauren Zices back. Hey, remember Lauren Zices? You remember Lauren Zices, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chubby girl, but, like, really confident, like, weirdly confident, where it became kind of empowering that you had this really overweight girl who was like, fuck it, man, I'm the thing. But guess what? She's not confident anymore.
Yeah.
No. She's really insecure. Or something. Yep. I don't know.
And didn't she have a line that was like, what was her line about joining the wrestling team? Like, didn't she have a line at the end that was like, Sadie Hawkins gave me the confidence to join the wrestling team? And
yeah,
it was like,
I missed that. But wasn't she already on the
wrestling team? Already on the wrestling team? Uh-huh. Yeah.
I missed that. But the whole, like, remember last season when she dumped Puck because she was done with him and moving on? Which, A, wasn't she a senior? Because the year before that, she was going to be the junior prom queen. B, okay, let's 180 on this character too, because while we're doing it with every other character on the show. So that made me angry. Up next, Kurt.
Kurt. Oh, okay.
This was
okay. Yeah. I feel like this episode was basically one step forward, two steps back. For every moment that I enjoyed, the next scene, I was like, fuck this.
Yeah, me too.
Like, that's the whole episode played out that way. But this was one of the things I didn't mind. We'll get to the songs.
I know what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah. But Adam, he's adorable. I kind of hate that they're just making Adam's apple into the new Glee, like the Glee of Niata, the Glee Club of Niata.
I don't think they need to do that.
They didn't.
I don't want another high school in college because that's not college. College is very different.
Yes,
you still have a hierarchy and cliques and stuff, but not nearly to the same extent.
Yeah.
And in most colleges, a cappella groups are actually like the cool kids.
Have you seen Pitch Perfect yet? I need to go buy that. I watched it.
No, we have to watch it.
I watched it again on Tuesday. I got it from the Redbox because I just didn't have the money to buy it. I was like, I could spend $1 on the Redbox though. But now I have two $5 Best Buy rewards and I'm totally going to go buy it because I just want to watch it like 24/7.
Yeah, I want to watch it with you.
Okay.
But yeah, so Kurt and him kind of flirt around and then Kurt gets the balls to be like, hey, do you want to get coffee? Which was fine. Cute. And I like that.
And he was like, yeah. And I hope that that's legitimate because I could see it. I could see Glee making it into, oh, he just thought, like, he's not gay. He just thought they were going out for coffee as friends. Like,
right.
I could see Glee assassinating it that way.
And I hope they don't.
And they better not.
Also in New York, Rachel and Brody are getting,
they're just like, hey, we haven't done anything with them for a while. Let's make Rachel get mad at him. That'll be good. Yeah.
Well, first of all, this pissed me off because if you live in Bushwick, meaning whoever's taking the train to you has to take like the trains that I don't even know where they go. You can never be angry at someone for being late if they're taking the subway because the subways are, there is no way to predict them.
Right.
So that made me angry.
But that's what bothered me about the line, is it's not like he's taking a train that has a specific time that arrives.
Right.
So you can't really say the train was late. You could say the subway was running really slow, or
that it took forever
for the subway to come, but you can't say it was running
late.
There
was a delay. Late. Yeah.
Because it doesn't have a schedule. Subways don't have a schedule. They show up when they show up.
Yeah, no, I had to wait forever on the platform. Yeah.
Right.
No, you're right. Bad writing in terms of, like, if you live in New York, you don't accuracy. Say the trains ran late. You say the trains were delayed.
Right, unless you're taking, like, the LIRR, which has a schedule.
Yeah. But now, along with that, now, I think it was Brianne a couple weeks ago who had said, like, she kind of misses Crazy Rachel. And as annoyed as I was when Rachel's like, hey, why don't you move in? I will say, well, at least it's Crazy Rachel.
Yeah.
Because this story is going to piss me off, because it pisses me off as a person. Like, no, you don't ask the guy that you've been dating for 2 months to move in with you when you, A, haven't discussed it with your roommate, and B, are not ready to do this. But at the same time, I'm like, well, Crazy Rachel.
She is a lunatic. And Kurt had that line, aren't you, you know, weren't you about to marry your boyfriend before?
When she's like, no, I'm responsible. He's like, oh, says the girl who was going to marry her high school boyfriend. Yeah.
Right. And that is just her doing the same thing again.
Exactly. We had a warbling. Now we have this was for me the highlight of the episode.
Talk to me about this. I feel like I'm torn on this.
I am totally torn on this, but I like the execution of it. I like the style of it. I like that they brought in the fat warbler, because that was just funny. I like that it was Sam who figured it out and tried to convince, and how he was able to convince everybody. So I like the way this was written and filmed.
Okay.
But my problem is, I also don't want them competing anymore.
Ah, I agree.
Yeah, I want them to just do concerts or to do other things. I don't want this season to end with them at Nationals. I don't want that. And I'll be really annoyed if this storyline gets us back there. So it's a tricky place to be in.
Yes, I agree. Because it was fun. I like their headshots and how they all have bigger heads. And that was amusing. Yeah.
But I don't like the potential of the storyline.
And I think that, like, I think the scene of them, like, giving, like, when Fat Warbler was, like, telling the story, like, that scene bothered me, of them being like, you have, like, of all the syringes and all that. Like, I didn't like that scene. Like, I don't know, something about it just, like, rubbed me the wrong way. I was like, this is weird. Like, why? And I don't understand why an acapella group needs steroids, because
they do those backflips and stuff. You have to be pretty strong for that.
Like, you have to, you just have to be able to sing and dance at the same time. You just need to do a lot of cardio.
That's a good point. I don't know. You have to have strength to be a dancer,
I guess. I don't know. It was just bizarre. But I like the Sam and Blaine relationship during it. And there was that scene with, again, back to Tina. Like, why? She, like, accepted the fact that they were going to just be friends. And then at the dance, she went to go kiss him again. Like,
they
moved forward to move back.
Yeah.
Very frustrating.
Ugh, I know. I agree.
Okay. Music?
All right. So, music. We had Tina singing I Don't Know How to Love Him from Jesus Christ Superstar.
Which was just boring for me.
I love the song, in part because it's for an alto, so I can kind of sing it. And I love the show. It's one of my favorite shows. And it was fine, but it just, And Blaine's reaction shots were great, because he just didn't get it, I think. But it was awkward, because I knew what they were trying to say with it, and that just pissed me off.
Agreed. So next was... I have so many things to say about this. Next was Baby Got Back, sung by the Adam's Apples, which apparently they didn't even do this arrangement, because on Wikipedia it says, you know, like, it tells you who originally recorded the song, and it says Jonathan Colton, which
is not... Well, there's a huge scandal about this.
There is? Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Because... What's that?
I said a sentence broken up by a response to you. I said Jonathan Colton is not Sir Mix-a-Lot, and in the middle of the sentence I said there is.
Well, because here's what's up, is that, they have taken, they didn't credit or get permission from Jonathan Colton for this.
Oh, to use his arrangement.
They probably got permission from Sir Mix-a-Lot, because Lee always does that, but they just kind of did, because this was a scandal a couple weeks ago when, like, this was leaked, because I guess they probably, like, must have shown clips, is that Jonathan Colton was like, yo, that's my arrangement, like, and they have not given any credit to him, which is pretty fucked up. So that's going to be a huge issue. He's probably suing, which I think you can do, but it's a weird thing because I don't know.
Because it's like not his song, but right, did he have permission for the arrangement?
Good point. Blah, blah, blah. And he basically did it on YouTube. I don't think he was like selling it. So it is kind of, yeah, there's a chance that legally they don't owe anything to him, but it's really dirty if they don't credit him.
With that said, I like the arrangement,
right,
but I despised every last person in the Adam's apples.
Well, I guess it was their way of showing, like, it's the outcasts. Look, oh, it's the goth kids.
My God, I wanted to punch Glee in the face. I was just, like, trying to enjoy the song because that's what I like when they do that thing where
Me
they
too.
Rearrange songs.
Or when somebody else does it for them and they copy that.
And copy it. But I couldn't deal with the hipsters in the group and because you know what? Hipsters aren't outcasts, first of all.
Certainly not in New York.
They had to have like fat kids and a goth kid and fucking geeky kid. And oh my God, I like every terrible stereotype ever. And I just thought we were past this and we're not.
Well, we'll find out soon.
So yeah, I hated that. Next was Tell Him, which I actually really enjoyed.
I loved it. It was so cute.
Marley and Brittany and the New Directions females.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Unique was in there. Tina was. And they all had the cute little the 60s, like early 60s dresses. It was just adorable. Like, I loved this.
Yeah, it was really cute. I did enjoy it a lot. And again, it was one of those moments where I was like, oh, like, I'm okay with Marley in this. And then she had that dialogue later and I was like, fuck her. then we had the New Directions guys doing No Scrubs by TLC, which I kind of loved also.
Oh, I do too. Me too. Totally. Because the thing is that like, I realized really with this episode is that the current boys who are in Glee are great at doing the boy band thing.
They are.
Like they're all kind of young, pretty boys with like high-ish voices where when they kind of do boy band dancing, it's really cute. And I thought this was great.
And they're all, like, different looking.
Yeah, so it ends up, like, they could be a boy band.
They could. It'd be exciting. Maybe Artie can market them as a boy band. Because Kevin McHale was in a boy band.
That's right. And that boy band was in Bratz, the movie.
Yes. And then we have the ladies doing Locked Out of Heaven by Bruno Mars at the dance. This was fine.
I've never heard this song before.
I have. They could have picked, like, a better song.
I usually really like Bruno Mars because he's done all the songs that Glee has done of his. I really like. And because, again, I don't know pop music. So I've always heard the songs and been like, wow, that's a great song. And like every time I've said that, it's turned out to be a Bruno Mars song. This one just bothered me. That didn't bother me. It just bored me. It just kept going.
It was just a matter of song choice. They could have picked a more interesting songs like the boys did TLC. Like,
right,
that's
which was
interesting.
A little different.
Dated, like there were interesting music choices until that point.
Yeah, agreed. And then the last song was Cool Rider singing I only have eyes for you.
Yes,
I liked it because I do like him. I like him as an actor. I like him as a character. I've always liked the song, and it's one of those songs that just always makes me think of Buffy season 2. And this was fine, but it was a lot of the same. Like it was a lot of on stage at the Sadie Hawkins dance singing, so it got a little
weird. Yeah. Exactly.
I have those songs.
Those are the songs.
High notes.
I guess just... Wait, which... I don't know what I was going to say. Oh, I guess I liked that Kurt is getting out and doing something.
Mm-hmm. I really wish he instead joined the Grand Guignol Club, because that would be great. And I love touches like that, and I, you know, want my Glee to be weirder, so that was fun.
I don't know. Go ahead. You could go.
Okay. Kurt had a great line that was very musical theater-based, which was that, you know, I can't remember who he was referring to. I guess Rachel, that they were as inseparable as the twins in Sideshow, which is a reference to the Broadway show Sideshow, which is about Siamese twins.
Okay.
Which is very funny, if you get it, if you know your Broadway shows. I like the line we talked about where Kurt calls Rachel out on getting married before graduation. And the way Finn talks about the guy in the Warblers, and he's like, oh yeah, he was kind of like the ray of sunshine in the group. it was a really cute Finn moment. So I like that.
Actually, you know what? I don't want to say I like, that's a strong word. I didn't have a problem. I did not have a problem with Finn this episode.
Yeah. Me
and
too.
he wasn't Will. Like, it didn't even occur to me that Will wasn't in the episode, because I think Finn is just has just moved into Will's spot.
And I'm fine with that. Yeah, yeah, that can happen. It's fine.
It's okay.
Yeah. Low notes.
Fucking Marley, man.
Marley.
And yeah, just the inconsistencies.
Maybe Marley can text and drive.
Maybe that'd be great. Maybe we could go back to an alternate timeline where Quinn comes back. Marley's the upperclassman who texts and drives and dies.
I like it. My other low notes were the kitty puck thing, because I feel like they're making it creepier. They're making it creepy, and it feels creepy, and I don't think it has to feel creepy. It's all that stuff. And Lauren's icy is bringing her back to malign her character. Pisses me off a bit.
Yeah, just the whole episode. It was just like there were all these like little gems of a good moment that had me like smile, and it's the first time I've smiled at the show in a long time. And then it would just completely do a 180 and be like, nope, just kidding.
Yeah. Again, I think if I had to grade it, I would also probably say C.
Maybe a C+, just because it had like a couple of good moments, but just not consistent enough.
I hear you. All right. So feedback, because I know we didn't get to put out our feelers for it because we knew we'd kind of have to rush through things today.
Yeah.
But we do have one bit of feedback from Wayne Kaki. And he titles his email, "I'll always think of this as the girl in the neck brace episode." So ladies,
That was my low note.
Oh, I don't even remember what was going on here.
I couldn't even remember it. I'm sorry, Wayne, for interrupting your feedback. And you're going to talk about it too, but I'm going to talk about it first because this is my show. No, I'm just kidding. But that was, I don't know why I couldn't remember it. That was my low note, is that there was like, I don't know if you saw the, like.
There was like flirting with Blake, right?
Well, but Blaine,
the fuck that character's name is.
With Ryder, yeah.
Cool Ryder, right.
There was a thing on the internet that was like, has anyone ever noticed the Cheerio in the neck brace? Like, she's always been there.
Yeah.
She's always been in the background. So someone pointed that out on the internet, and then Glee was like, oh, you guys like this? Let me give you more of this. Can I get you some more of this? Let me put her in every scene. We're going to put her in every scene, in the background of every scene. Let's put her in every scene. Because
we're going to make her a warbler when the scene's with a warbler.
Yes, because that's what Glee does, and that was a huge, huge low note. It was like, it was good when you were doing it and you didn't know we liked it. But as soon as you found out we liked it, you had to shove it into every scene.
And now we're not going to care for it so much.
Now I'm like, I could care. I don't know who this girl is. I don't care about her. It was funny that there was always a Cheerio with a neck brace. But now that you're giving her things to do, like go to the dance with a main character, I hate her. Like, Glee's like a dog with a bone. Like, as soon as they get it, they're like, oh, people like when we do this. Let me do this. Let me do this again. Let me do it again.
Okay, I'm just going to keep doing it. I'm just going to keep doing it. Do you like this? Do you like this?
God, it killed me. I can't believe I almost forgot to say that. I knew there was like something in my head, and I was like, I'm forgetting to say something, and I can't remember what it is, and that's what it was. I do.
Good.
But I hate that Glee does that.
All right, so Wayne writes, so ladies, do you want some Glee feedback? Hell yeah. As of the Sadie Hawkins episode, Glee has now turned into a grotesque funhouse mirror parody of its former self, and I'm trying to decide whether or not that's a good thing. I wasn't bored by this episode, at least. Well, I was pretty bored a few times, but not as much as I usually am by season 4 episodes. So there's that, at least. But let's get into some specifics, huh? Is it just me, or were Sam and Kurt both very pale-looking this week? Kurt especially. He was almost translucent. I told you, well, it's winter. Nobody gets a tan in winter. I told you season 4 was the season of gymnastics. Remember that from one of my previous feedback emails? And now it's a major plot point. I feel vindicated, I guess is the word. Vindicated. Good for you, Wayne. This episode, whatever its narrative deficiencies, was positively teeming with stylistic flourishes, weird close-ups, oddball camera angles, and some dreamy crossfading, too. I think as the show becomes further and further removed from reality, this kind of show-offy technical trickery will increase. I'm all for it. Oh, hey, the student council is run exclusively by Glee kids. What a shocker. It must be a fucking drag to go to a school where, like, 8 kids do everything. There are some generic kids, or generic kids, as I call them, standing in the background and doing, what exactly? Smiling and nodding, I guess. Are these student council groupies? In fairness, though, Beverly Hills 90210 senior breakfast episode.
Yeah.
I will always cite that as an example of a show in which the high school was supposed to be huge, but at their senior breakfast, the entire breakfast was the Peach Pit gang showing videos of their best of moments of the past 3 years. So I defer to it for that. Wayne continues, I don't know. Sam's impressions weren't doing much for me this week. At some point, every running gag begins to sputter and wheeze. Did they have Sadie Hawkins dances at your school? They did at mine. Oh, Jesus, did they ever. Thanks for dredging up that particular memory, Glee. Tina, you don't know what awkward is. I've seen things you can't imagine. Did they have them at yours?
No.
Yeah, not me neither. Sugar, I love you. Really, I do. But please, for me, lay off the headbands for a while.
She's had a lot of height to her
God,
hair.
We didn't even talk about Sugar, like, suddenly not having a boyfriend when, like, all she had to do was ask any guy, all of whom seemed to be into her.
And what happened to her and Artie's relationship? Because that seemed to be rekindled, but I didn't know it ever stopped.
Same thing that happened to Tina and Mike's relationship. The writers couldn't remember where they left off on it, so they decided to start it over or just forget about it, depending. Okay, Wayne continues. Hey, Lauren is back, but now she's whiny and self-pitying. But look who's sitting next to her. Neck brace girl. Dun, dun, dun. I'm not thrilled about turning Niata into a fancier version of McKinley with cliques and rivalries and social pyramids and such like. If Niata is the new McKinley, then why do we need McKinley? Mm-hmm. Kate Hudson's character, I believe her name was something like Penelope Moonrocket, must have died of alcohol poisoning during the hiatus. Yeah, are her and Sarah Jessica Parker gone? Do we know? Are they done? Did they finish their thing?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, please, Kurt, choose the Grand Guignol Club instead. Think how awesome that would be. We don't need another show choir in Glee. I'm sick to fucking death of show choirs. They're awful. That's why the rest of the world hates them. Britt has another great week. Her deadpan line, it is, becomes one of the episode's high points. Neck brace girl, pause, again. Our Glee is not a class. It barely exists as an extracurricular activity at this point. The rehearsals would never take place during regular school hours. Ergo, Finn has no fucking business being in the teacher's lounge. And he likes coffee now? What WTF? Coffee is for closers, Finn. The Fugees refugees pun doesn't quite work because the name Fugees actually derives from the word refugees. And would Finn know who the Fugees are? Wow, that makes me feel old if he wouldn't.
Yeah.
Beast dated a preacher, son, and she doesn't sing Son of a Preacher Man. Are you fucking kidding me? You're missing the easy layups, Glee. I fucking hate the word empowerment. It's overused to the point that it's becoming meaningless. And the writers had the writers bothered to Google Sadie Hawkins, they'd find that its origins have nothing whatsoever to do with feminism. Oh, come on, Glee, the Uranus joke? Fuck that shit. I'm the hackiest hacks in Hacksville. Even I find that hacky. I forgot about that. That was just bad.
It was bad, but they did give Sam the line of, like, what? Like, he didn't get it, so it kind of made it okay for me.
He wasn't making a joke. Yeah.
Right. He wasn't doing it on purpose, like, even though the writers were, so it made it okay for me.
I can see that. When Kitty pops up out of nowhere, Sebastian style, to say that she wants to sing a song to someone, they immediately cut to Marley. For a second, I thought, okay, this just got interesting. Oh, wait, no, it didn't. Did you know there's a drug-resistant form of super gonorrhea on the rise? It's true. I mentioned that because Rachel might want to start preparing for it if her relationship with Grody Brody continues. Rach, this guy's a walking petri dish. I'm not saying go back to Finn, but you can do better. Kurt is appropriately skeptical because he's one of the few characters on the show with triple-digit IQ. I don't know how to love him is about wanting to get your freak on with Jesus, and Jenna Ushkowitz remains a pleasant but very dull singer. But in spite of that, the locker room scene is pretty funny. I like Artie's overconfidence, Finn cutting off Tina's speech, and the possible revelation that Tina and Unique have something going on. Not so wild about Blatina, though, and I really wanted the show to get more comedic mileage out of Tina's total delusion, but it is funny that everyone else is so embarrassed by her utterly misguided performance that Finn has to remind them to applaud.
That her writing in the notebook and writing Blatina was also pretty good too, because it's like right. It'd be like, it has blah in the name, come on. Yeah, the portmanteau exactly. Too has blah in it, so
it that says something. Blaine, here's how does her respond when Tina asks you to ask you out in front of everyone. Okay, so you just understand that I'm super gay, but what the hell, why not? Sounds like fun. Boom, problem solved. Nobody loses face. So Adam, you know, of Adam's apples. Yeah, that Adam. He's coming off a little desperate. Might be trying too hard. It would be beyond hilarious if his accent and his old persona turned out to be fake. Is he from Middle Earth or something? Who knows? Maybe he's just like the gay Brody and seduces Niata freshman every year, too. Yeah, because I couldn't quite place. It's not British. It's like...
I thought it was Australian. It's not?
We'll get back there. We'll find out after he talks more. But this conversation is when Glee uses that weird crossfade technique. I'm not sure why, but it's kind of cool, I think. Knowing the sordid truth behind the infamous Baby Got Back scene totally ruined that scene for me. Glee was really dickish about this, even though they were acting within their legal rights. Not cool, Glee. Not cool. I'm convinced that Chris Colfer's reaction shots were filmed completely separately and that he was watching a cat ride a unicycle. I would love to watch a cat ride a unicycle. I am totally going to YouTube that in a minute. goddamn, everybody in Adam's Apples is trying too hard. Those people are dangerously quirky. Brit has some nice self-aware meta-dialogue in her pre-song pep talk with Marley, whom she's not sure she's ever met. It's kind of hard to take the song Tell Him at face value after the hilarious SNL skit with Anna Faris, which used it a great comic effect. I'm telling you, look that skit up, it's worth it. But is it better than Cats on Unicycles? Anyway, on the plus side, this song was adorable, and Marley was less objectionable than ever before. Blue's a good color for her, and Glee actually did something kind of nice with the arrangement, adding some vocal harmonies. Unique's background dancing is wonderfully awful, too. He's just kind of flailing around back there. Is that intentional? Maybe it's a Mercedes reference. Deck Brace Girl, Part 3. The scene between Jake and Kitty reminds me why I wish that show aired at 10 p.m. on Fox rather than 9 p.m. on Fox. That way, neither one of them would have to speak in euphemisms or double entendres. They could get right to the point, the way teenagers in this situation actually would. But if you're going to the sly innuendo route, Glee, you missed another easy layup. Kitty should have said, I used to be Snow White, but I drifted. My attention is starting to flag, and I'm sure yours is too, lady, so I'll speed this up. Tina likes Blaine. Blaine likes Sam. Sam does impressions and has some conspiracy theory about the Warblers. Don't care, don't care, don't care. Buck said he has every flavor of Cheerios you can imagine, but he only names two flavors, original and honey nut. Have you not been to a grocery store lately? There are like 12 different kinds of Cheerios now. Some nice Rachel Kurtz stuff on the streets of New York City. I like their coats. Adam still seems like a character from Legend of Zelda, but whatever. I think pretty much every viewer on top of the age of 9 was hoping Rachel would get hit by a bus immediately after saying, seize the moment. You can't pause in the middle of the street to play stupid chilling. And the kitty puck thing. Are we supposed to be grossed out by this or amused or what? How far is Glee going with this Kitty is the new Quinn thing? I'm simultaneously rooting for and against her repeating Quinn's season one story arc. It's hard to explain. The art department did a primo job with that set for the dance. It looks great, don't you think? You know, I'm always down for an arty R&B jam, but Glee missed the chance to do the No Scrubs, No Pigeons mashup that should have happened years ago. The problem with the Jake Marley story is that it's too obvious, and the two characters spend all their time spewing out expositions that even the stupidest, least attentive viewers knows what's going on. And yet again on Glee, the girl has to be a pristine, untouched virgin, while the guy gets to have a prolific and varied sexual past. A guy can be a whore just so long as he stops whoring when he meets the right girl, but the girl has to remain pure for the guy. And who's the villain in this little fairy tale? That's right, the slutty girl. And all this in an episode supposedly devoted to female empowerment. How many virgins will have to be sacrificed on the altar of Glee? Fuck all of this. Good. Thank you, Wayne, for saying that so well. Love, love, love the overhead camera of the female wallflowers. Unnecessary and awesome nonetheless. But there's no way, no way in hell, that Sugar would be among them. She's never had a second of self-doubt in her life. Why would she start now? Because the writers wanted her to. And Lauren, what happened to you? This is so totally out of character. Lauren, I know, would have just approached a guy in the hallway and said, you, me, Sadie Hawkins. And that would have been that. But no, she's insecure now for some reason. Because the writers needed her to be. Unless you've landed yourself a fella, apparently you're nothing. Great lesson for young women, Glee. Bah humbug to all of this. I guess I kind of do care about the Sam Blaine Tina thing, only because I want them to have the worst three-way ever when they all end up crying afterwards. I would totally watch that show. Marley squanders the tiny bit of goodwill she had earlier in the episode by leading the gals in a snoozy rendition of another generic Bruno Mars song that sounds like every other Bruno Mars song. The only thing of interest here is the line, your sex takes me to paradise, which Principal Figgins would never allow at a school dance. Any high school administrator would go ballistic and pull the plug immediately. By the way, if anybody ever tells you that your sex takes them to paradise, run, do not walk, to a safe location and dial 911 immediately. Kitty is almost unrecognizable with her hair down. She looks like a 1970s country singer, and that's a good thing. If Glee were 30 Rock, we'd get to see a minute or so of Puck's proposed pool boy movie. I still don't buy that he'd pursue a career as a writer, though. He doesn't strike me as a guy with the attention span necessary to spend hours typing up a script. That just doesn't ring true for his character, in my opinion. Glee weasels out of everything, and now it looks like it's weaseling out of having New Directions lose its sectionals. Fuck this, fuck this, fuck this, fuck this, fuck this, fuck this. You want to talk about cheating, Glee? Okay, let's talk about cheating. Rachel flubs her Niata audition and still gets into Niata. Kurt doesn't get in, but then he totally does. Beast goes back to her abusive husband. Oh, wait, no, she doesn't. Emma marries another guy. Whoops, annulment. Finn joins the army and then gets out almost immediately. You can't keep pressing the reset button, Glee. That's the real cheating. I am also sick of the Ohio show choir rulebook, which is like Glee's answer to the Necronomicon. It's become a narrative crutch, which is weird because books make lousy crutches. I do like the hazy, gauzy look of the Warblers doping scene. Again, totally unnecessary. Again, awesome. Rachel, 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 if rap songs have taught me anything, it's that you can't turn a hoe into a housewife. But that's what you're trying to do with Brody. I get that he's dreamy and all, but he's a slut. He slept with your sworn enemy just a few episodes ago. Do you have any recollection of that? I will say, however, that I'm inclined to believe he's to believe his very suspicious the train was late story. Why? Because my own commuter train has been delayed at least twice in the last few weeks because of the weather, and I did spend some time shivering on the platform. So it's within the realm of possibility, but the thing about Brody is, even when he's telling the truth about it, it sounds like a lie. I'm reminded of Gore Vidal's description of Richard Nixon. He will lie even when it is inconvenient, the sign of a true artist. So I love that Wayne's able to quote Gore Vidal in his feedback. So that was Sadie Hawkins, a totally ridiculous episode with a very dubious female empowerment theme, yet kind of fascinating in its own moronic way. The writers must just write the characters' names on a huge whiteboard and say, okay, who haven't we paired up yet? Maybe they draw the names out of a hat and mash them up that way. I don't know how to feel about this. At this point, watching Glee is about as much as being involved with the characters or the stories on a deeply emotional level. Those days are gone. Now it's about individual moments and performances. Funny lines, catchy songs, neat little camera movements, weird background details. An episode of Glee is not just a pile of stuff, and you spend the hour sifting through it looking for treasure amid the trash. Or maybe you're just looking for trash. For now, there's enough to keep me watching. Till next time, ladies, Wayne Kotke, who also ends with a song for you to put on, if you will, Erica. Yeah. That summarizes the theme of the episode quite nicely. And I look forward to hearing what that is, because I don't know yet. But yeah, Wayne's feedback definitely made me realize how kind of sexist this episode was. Mm. And I didn't realize that the first time. Things pissed me off about it, the Lauren Zeisse's thing in particular. But yeah, when you look at the overall whole of it, it doesn't have nice things to say about women.
No.
No. So that was Glee, episode 11 of season 4.
Oh, boy.
I don't remember what happens this week. Do you?
This coming
week?
I
watched the preview, but I don't remember it.
I don't know. It's called Naked.
Oh, Rachel is doing a play and she has to get naked in it.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
So that will be something. Or not.
Something thrilling, I'm sure. Oh, and the girls come to see her. So we get Mercedes and Quinn.
Oh, I didn't even realize that. Interesting.
Yeah, yeah, it shows them talking to her in the apartment.
It'd be great if, like, Quinn arrives and then just gets hit by a train.
It would be.
That's going to happen eventually, right? Like, they are going to kill her, right? In a really brutal way. Or it's going to be, like, pandemic where, like, they kill her while she goes out to have a poop because, like, they hate it so much that they're going to make her die in the worst way possible. We'll see. We will see. I'm going to now go YouTube Cats on Unicycles.
Okay, you have fun.
I will. Thank you to our listeners. We apologize for the rushness of these episodes and not being able to pause for too much feedback. We just, like we said, we wanted to make sure we got these episodes out before it got ridiculously late.
Exactly.
Indeed. Where can you find us, Erica?
You can find us by searching for GleeCast on Facebook and talk to us there, because that's the best place to leave feedback, because you get instant feedback from us.
Yes.
And from our other listeners. Mm-hmm. And you can also email us at gleecast@gmail.com and friend us on Facebook.
Yeah.
I don't use my Twitter anymore. Would you like to plug yours?
I use mine less than I do, because here's the problem is now that I realize I follow too many people with Deadly Dolls. So if you want to tweet me, you can at Deadly Dolls, or tweet me at my other podcast, Twitter, which I'm using more because we only follow like 200 people so far. So it's like, I can actually read things of people I know. And that would be, at Feminine Podcast. That is for my other podcast, The Feminine Critique, where we talk about movies of sorts.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm enjoying listening to you.
Thank you. I was happy with our last episode where we had a long discussion about the nature of chick flicks and what they are and if it's a real word. So yeah, you can go find us there as well.
And that's about it. We'll be back next week.
Indeed. All right. Happy Sadie Hawkins time.
Happy New Year.
Gail Power.
Happy Groundhog's Day.
Indeed.
Just have a happy day.
Indeed.
Bye.
Bye. When a boy meets a girl that he wants to get to know, he just walks right up to her, introduces himself, then he tells her so. For the very first time.
when a boy meets a